Well, we are in Isaiah chapter 63. Now, we've been doing these passages pretty much the whole chapter at a time, but we really don't want to rush past what's going on in the first six verses of this particular chapter, Isaiah chapter 63. So we want to make sure to get these, this aspect, this thing of the day of vengeance is what we're going to be talking about. We want to get this down. Isaiah chapter 63 verse 1, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the winefat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. Now the topic of this passage of Scripture today is what you see there in verse 4, the day of vengeance, and we want to study that. But before we do, let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to guide us through this study and help us to understand it. Benny, if you'll pray for us, please. Amen. 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 The day is coming. This thing we're reading about hasn't happened yet. This is coming. The day is coming when the Lord will no longer withhold His vengeance from His adversaries. You hear people today say, oh, well, in Islam they have a God named Allah, but in Catholicism they have God and Mary, and in, you know, the Bible you have Jesus and God, and they're all the same. But they're not all the same. And Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus told us, or Paul told us in Romans chapter 5, when that Jesus Christ died, he died for his enemies. And truly, people without Christ are opposed to God Almighty. And people say, well, they must be all the same because, you know, the religions need to get together and it's all going to be fine. There's coming a day when God's going to sort the sheep from the goats, and He is going to pour out His vengeance on His adversaries. And that's going to come as a real shock. It's not a shock to us because we believe the Bible and we see it here. It's going to be a shock to people who don't believe that. Now, right now, they, that is the adversaries of God, are taking advantage of the fact that the Lord is slow to anger and that He's using them right now, these other nations, to accomplish His will against Israel. As we get into this study, look with me at a couple of things about the Lord concerning this. Turn to Nahum chapter 1. You're saying you would. You would make us go there. Well, you get through Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Then you get Amos, Obadiah, Micah, Nahum. Nahum chapter 1. I want you to see a couple of things as we introduce this day of vengeance. Nahum chapter 1. And look at verse 2. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on His adversaries, and He reserveth wrath for His enemies. But look at verse 3. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. So notice, the Lord is slow to anger. So while He's furious and while He has vengeance, He is not pouring out His vengeance on his adversaries at this time. And there's a reason for it. Turn with me to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Now, Luke chapter 21, the Lord is explaining to his disciples what people are supposed to do in the tribulation, what Jews are supposed to do in the tribulation. So this is a time yet still in the future. All right, in Luke chapter 21, look at verse 20. He tells his disciples, when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Notice, Jerusalem is compassed with armies. There are armies that are surrounding Jerusalem yet in a time in the future. Verse 21, Luke chapter 21, verse 21. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Well, you're going to read today those things that are written in the Old Testament. Verse 23, but woe unto them that are with child, unto them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. Now he's talking about Israel. He's talking about the Jews being led away captive into all nations. Watch it. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. This is yet to come. So God is using the nations and will be using the nations to still deal with his people until they turn to the Lord. And so he's not pouring out his wrath on his adversaries right now, because he's using the adversaries to correct Israel. And once he gets them corrected, then, buddy, it is Katie bar the door, because he's coming down with vengeance. So this lesson today from Isaiah chapter 63, this lesson deals with some important aspects of this future date on God's calendar. Today we're going to look at several aspects of the day of vengeance. We're going to look at the timing of the day of vengeance. Not the day. Nobody here can tell you the day and the hour. Only God knows that. But we're going to look at the timing of the day of the vengeance. We're going to look at some of the events of the day of vengeance. We're going to look at the Lord's armies in the day of vengeance, the Lord's garments on the day of vengeance, the Lord's attitude in the day of vengeance, the Lord's salvation in the day of vengeance. And is it outside? And interesting notes on the day of vengeance. Interesting notes on the day of vengeance. So we got a little bit to look at today. First of all, let's look at the timing. The timing of the day of vengeance. Okay, the exact date is not known. Jesus Christ, when he was on the earth, said, of that day and hour knoweth no man but my Father only. You know, not even the angels in heaven. That's Matthew 24:36. So anytime you hear a date setter, the rapture's coming here, the rapture's coming there, this is going to happen then. These are all speculative prognosticators, and you can be sure of one thing, they're wrong. And you can be sure of another thing, they don't know. Because even Jesus Christ in humility said, I don't know when he was here on the earth. He knows now, but he didn't know then. But we do know when this day is going to recur relative to the other days in prophecy. In order of occurrence, here's what's going to happen. First of all, there's going to be the rapture of the church. That's what's coming, the big deal coming next, the rapture of the church. That may even occur between now and lunchtime. That'll be fine with me. I'm ready to fly. The Lord himself shall descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Are you comforted? I am. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 5. We are not going to analyze all the verses about the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. There is a lot of discussion, particularly on the internet, saying that the tribulation of the church the rapture won't happen until late in the tribulation. Let me just show you this one thing in Revelation chapter 5, okay? Revelation chapter 5 is sandwiched between 4 and 6. In Revelation chapter 4, yeah, this is good, okay? It's very basic, elemental stuff here. Make sure you get it. Nothing complicated, you know, no sleight of hand here. In Revelation chapter 4, what happens? John is caught up into heaven, and he sees the Lord on the throne. Revelation chapter 6, what happens? The seals begin to open, indicating now the progress of the tribulation. You know what you find in Revelation chapter 5? You find us. Look in Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. You know this is more than just the 24 elders, because there's more than 24 nations. There's more than 24 tongues. They are representative of the saints that you see there in verse 8, the prayers of the saints. You and I have been redeemed to God by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Watch it, verse 10, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So we're already there with the taking up of John before the seals and the trumpets and the vials begin to open. We can show you many other things, but I just tell you, the next thing coming is the rapture of the church. Okay? After that, the tribulation starts. According to Matthew chapter 24, we won't turn there, verses 15 to 22, it is great tribulation. It's worse than anything that has ever been experienced on the earth. That includes Sodom and Gomorrah, Noah's flood, all that stuff. This is going to be bad. Called the tribulation. And then after the tribulation, toward the end, before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, will be the rapture of the tribulation saints. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 11. The reason that people confuse the rapture of the church and say that it's going to take place toward the end of the tribulation is that there is a rapture at the end of the tribulation, but it's not for us. It is a rapture of the tribulation saints. In Revelation chapter 11, you have two witnesses. Okay, and they come, they're Moses and Elijah, they come and they're preaching for 3.5 years, and then they get killed. And after they are lying 3.5 days, in Revelation chapter 11, verse 11, after they're lying 3.5 days, dead and not buried, verse 12 says, they heard a great voice, Revelation 11, 12, they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither, and they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Now that's Moses and Elijah going up after they finish their ministry. And they don't go up alone. They go up with the tribulation saints. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 7 and I'll show you them. Revelation chapter 7. In Revelation 5, you've already seen the church age saints. They're there before the seals open. In Revelation chapter 7, we are now between chapter 6 and chapter 8. It's amazing how that works. In Revelation chapter 6, you have all six seals open. In Revelation chapter 8, you have the seventh seal, which is the end of the tribulation. So right before the end of the tribulation, you find Revelation chapter 7. In Revelation chapter 7, look at verse 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. They stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they're saying some things. Verse 13, one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. He said to me, that these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So you have a whole another group of multitude of kindreds and people and nations and tongues. And these are the ones that came out of great tribulation in Revelation chapter 7. John didn't know who they were, though he had seen us in Revelation chapter 5. So this is the group that goes up when Moses and Elijah go up. So we have the rapture of the church, the tribulation, the rapture of the tribulation saints, and then we have the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and this day of vengeance that we're reading about here. Following that day of vengeance, and we're going to study today, we have the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ when he rules upon the throne of David and saves Israel. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 say, unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given. His name shall be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then of his government there shall be no end, ruling upon the throne of David. So he begins his millennial reign. People say he's reigning right now from heaven in his millennial reign. That's not true. That's not true. The devil is still the god of this world. He'll depose him in that world reign, start his millennial reign, and he will rule here on the earth from Jerusalem. So this day of vengeance takes place at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ before he sets up his 1,000-year or his millennial reign. Okay? That's where we are. That's the timing of the day of vengeance. What are the events? What are the events of the day of vengeance in Isaiah chapter 63? Well, it looks like, according to the Bible, it looks like the Lord is going to execute his vengeance in several battles and on several different battlefields. For instance, in Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 1, he is already coming from Edom, and his garments are already bloodstained before he ever goes into the winepress. And that's because the Lord will destroy his adversaries in Edom first. See verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 63. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah, this that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength? I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. It's Jesus Christ. And he's already coming from Edom. Now, where is Edom? Well, if you look at our map that we have here, we haven't used this in a while. You know, it's just God has to reveal things to you, you know? Okay, so basically what we have up here is we have the Sea of Kinnereth or the Sea of Galilee. The Jordan River runs down to the Dead Sea. All right, Jerusalem and Israel are over here to the west of the Dead Sea and the Jordan River. Edom is below the Dead Sea. It's Jordan today, and if you go down into Jordan on a tour, they'll take you down to Sela Petra, which is the rock city, and a bunch of Jews are going to be hiding down there during the tribulation. All right, so the Lord starts out down there. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 34. Isaiah chapter 34. In Isaiah chapter 34, look at verse 6. You can start anywhere in this passage you want to, but verse 6 is good enough for us. The sword of the Lord, Isaiah 34, 6, the sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. Same place. And the unicorns shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. So on the day of vengeance, God's going to be down there in Edom, and I don't know how long the battle's going to take, but anyway, he's going to come down, and he's going to just crush that land. Now, there's a reason for it when you read Obadiah. One of the reasons for it is that when the Jews were escaping to get down to Sela Petra, Edomites were stopping them from going down there and turning them into the Antichrist to be killed. The Lord, when he comes back, says, I need to deal with this problem. Okay? Because he gave them a place of refuge down there. Another thing that he's going to do on the day of vengeance is he's going to destroy his adversaries at Armageddon in the Valley of Megiddo. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16. He's going to destroy his adversaries at Armageddon in the Valley of Megiddo. Revelation 16. Look at verse 12. Again, we're going through these vials and these trumpets and these seals and all that. Okay, this is one of the vials. It's a late vial. It's the sixth one. Verse 12, Revelation 16, 12. The sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, for they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. And then the seventh angel pours out his vial. See that? Armageddon. And that's the kings of the whole earth. All right, back to our map. We have the Sea of Galilee up here, Jordan River running down, and the Dead Sea here. Edom is down here. So if you come west of the Sea of Galilee and come out here, if you look at a map of Israel today, you're going to see the coastline on the Mediterranean Sea come down and then take a little kick like that west and come on down like this. This is Haifa. And what runs out of Haifa down toward that Jordan River valley is the Valley of Megiddo. Okay, so it's in basically in northern Israel, or it would be up there where the 10 tribes were. The Valley of Megiddo, and that's where Armageddon's going to be fought. That's another one of his battlefields during his day of vengeance. You read more about that in Revelation chapter 6, verses 15 to 17. So that's another field. And then he is also going to destroy his adversaries outside of Jerusalem in a place called the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Turn back with me to Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah chapter 63 and look at verse 2. We're going to see several of these because this is what we're reading about in Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah 63, look at verse 2. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel? This isn't Santa Claus. And thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment, for the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Now, this particular thing he does by himself. He's treading the winepress alone and crushing these enemies. Well, where are they? Turn to Joel chapter 3. So you've got, you're in Isaiah, Jeremiah, small book, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Joel. Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3, look at verse 11. We'll look at a few cross references here because this is the core of our study today. Joel chapter 3, look at verse 11. Joel 3:11. If you're in the book of Amos, you're one book too far. Joel 3, chapter 3, verse 11. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. The Valley of Jehoshaphat runs east of Jerusalem between the Temple Mount and the Mount of Olives. So it's right there in the vicinity, really, where Jesus Christ was crucified. The Valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow. He's talking about that wine press, the wine fat. For the wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. All right. I'll give you some other cross references, but again, then you have the Valley of Megiddo, and you have the Jordan River, the Dead Sea. So he destroys them in Idumea, in Edom. He destroys them at Armageddon in the Valley of Megiddo, and he destroys them in between those two places right outside of Jerusalem in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. All of those taking place in the day. The day of the Lord is a long day. This isn't necessarily a 24-hour deal when he's doing all this. In the day of vengeance. Zephaniah, you're in Joel, so now you go to Amos, Obadiah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, the fourth to the last book of your Old Testament, chapter 3, and look at verse 8, Zephaniah 3:8, fourth to the last book in the Old Testament, if you have to work backwards to get there. Zephaniah chapter 3, look at verse 8. This idea of bringing these nations against Jerusalem was God's decision, God's desire. Zephaniah 3:8, therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. The fire of my jealousy. Look in Zechariah chapter 14. You're in Zephaniah. Now two more books. Haggai and Zechariah. Second to the last book of the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 14. We're seeing plenty of this because all of these are cross-referencing the same event, that destruction in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, that treading of the winepress that takes place right side of Jerusalem. Zechariah chapter 14, look at verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. He's referring back to Joshua chapter 10 there in the day of battle. So he's going to fight against those nations, and boy, he does. It's just bad. It's fury, it's anger, it's fire, it's bad. One more place, Revelation chapter 14. Look at verse 18 to 20. Revelation 14, verses 18 to 20. This day of vengeance, this treading of the winepress is a major part of the prophecy of the Old Testament. Revelation chapter 14, look at verse 18. And another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city. That's in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And blood came out of the winepress, even under the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. If a furlong is an eighth of a mile, like horse racing, that's 200 miles of blood. That's a lot of blood. And that's a lot of blood. And the Lord's doing that, treading that winepress. All right, now, Isaiah 63 says he does that alone, and we're going to talk about that some, but you know the Lord, when he comes to destroy these nations, comes with his armies. And so we're going to now look not only at the timing of the day of vengeance, the events of the day of vengeance, but now the Lord's armies on the day of vengeance. Look in Isaiah chapter 63, verse 3. Notice when he treads the winepress, he treads it how? Alone. And yet we read when the Lord comes that he comes back with his armies. So evidently the armies are involved in the destruction of Edom and in the destruction up in Armageddon, but they're not involved in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Jesus Christ is doing that by himself. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. And look at verse 13 to 15. Revelation 19:13. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. All right, we've read that in Isaiah 63. And his name is called the Word of God, so we know it's Jesus. Watch it, verse 14. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. There it is again. Now in Psalm 149, we read that the saints have the joy of working with the Lord Jesus Christ to destroy the kings of the earth. And in Psalm 58, we read, I'm telling you this because this is going to be in the notes you can find on the internet, that we wash our feet in the blood of these that are slain. So we're there. Psalm 149, 6 through 9, Psalm 58, verse 10 tell you that. So we're there. We're with him. I remember when I taught on this years ago, Milton Sells was sitting about where you're sitting when we were over there in that building. And he said, man, he said, I can't wait. I got some folks, boy. He said, I am ready. I am ready to take them out. Listen, I'll tell you what, I thank God every time I read this that we're on the winning side. I am so glad we've not been deceived to believe the lie and go contrary to the truth. I would hate to be on the receiving end of this fury, I guarantee you. The Lord's garments on the day of vengeance is another thing. Notice in verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 63 that when he comes, he is glorious in his apparel, and yet the garments are stained blood red because of that blood that's splashing up on them, the vesture that's dipped in blood. Look in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. When Peter, James, and John went with the Lord Jesus Christ up to the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus Christ was transfigured before them, and they could see what he was going to look like when he returns. Matthew chapter 17. And when they saw him in the high mountain, chapter 17, verse 2 says, he was transfigured before them and his face did shine as the sun. Watch it. And his raiment was white as the light. So he's glorious in his apparel, but when he comes in here to fight all this, the beautiful raiment is splashed and stained with blood, as we saw in Revelation 19, as we see here in Isaiah chapter 63. Alright, and another thing we've already discussed, but I just want to emphasize it again. Notice also the Lord's attitude in the day of vengeance. This is a side of Jesus Christ people just do not understand and don't accept. In verse 3 of Isaiah chapter 63, look right in the middle, I will tread them in my love and will trample them in my mercy. Is that what it says? No. He said, I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury. Verse 6, I will tread down the people in mine anger and make them drunk in my fury. I will bring down their strength of the earth. That's an amazing side of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in one of the passages that we've already seen today, I think it was in Joel, he talks about the fire of my jealousy. Look at this in the New Testament. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. You know, people say the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It helps you to understand the true nature of God because it strengthens your fear of God. And if it strengthens your fear of God, it strengthens your wisdom. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at verse 7, 8, and 9. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You know what Sodom and Gomorrah is? You know what Sodom and Gomorrah is? It's a testimony. So this destruction right here. It's a testimony you have in history recorded for you in the scripture to let you know when God said he's going to do this, that he's going to do it. The second to the last book in your Bible is that little book called Jude. One chapter. Go over there real quick. Jude, verse 7. Jude, verse 7. Just one little verse here, but it's to solidify in your mind and in my mind that when God comes to do this, He intends to do it just the way He said. Jude 7. even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now he wiped them off the map so much you can't even find a remnant of Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, and Zeboam, the four cities that were destroyed in that fire. And when he comes back in flaming fire taking vengeance, man. You say, why would he do that? Because he's, for 2,000 years, he has extended his mercy and sent preachers all over this world. 5 million Christians were martyred during the days of the Inquisition, trying to get the gospel out and to write it where it could be preserved for us. And after all of that, Lord says, you have messed with my people one too many times. I am sick of this. I gave you mercy. I gave you the out. I gave you an opportunity. You decided to go against me. You decided to worship the devil, and that's it. And boy, when he comes, he is hot. So hot he's burning. I mean, flaming fire. But you notice something? The Lord comes back with salvation on that day as well. He does. In looking 4 and 5, Isaiah 63, 4 and 5, for the day of vengeance is in mine heart, but watch it, and the year of my redeemed is come. I looked and there was none to help. I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. What's he doing? When he comes to destroy the adversaries, he also comes to deliver Israel, and he saves them, according to passages we've looked at over and over again. It is the year of his redeemed. Let's look at one, Isaiah 59. Look at verses 16 to 20. Isaiah 59, verse 16 to 20. Just that couple passages back. He saw, Isaiah 59, 16, he saw that there was no man, wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and helmet of salvation upon his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with a zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, according he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will pay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. So at the same time that he is destroying the enemies, he is redeeming and saving Israel. Let me give you some interesting notes on this passage that we've looked at today. When Jesus Christ came at his first coming, he died alone on Calvary. The Bible says that he was alone. All of his disciples fled from him. He said, I wasn't alone. My Father was with me. But on the earth, he was alone. And so when he returns and he's outside of Jerusalem in the vicinity of where they crucified him, he does all this business alone. I didn't need any help, he says, to redeem you on Calvary, and I'm not going to need any help to destroy these adversaries. And he does it alone. At his first coming, Jesus Christ was wounded. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. When he comes back, his enemies will be wounded. At Jesus' first coming, his blood was shed. But when he returns, it's going to be his enemies' blood that's shed. You see, it's all just. At his first coming, he brought salvation. Even so, at his second coming, he will bring salvation. He came to save the Jews, and he doesn't quit till he accomplishes the task. People often say to me when dealing with them, you know, I like the God of the New Testament, but I don't like the God of the Old Testament. The trouble is, they are the same God. They are one and the same. There's nothing different. I'd say to them, they'd better trust the Lord Jesus Christ and receive his mercy before he comes. Because when he comes, there'll be no more mercy. It's vengeance. Folks, we know the truth. I thank God for the truth. Let us be diligent to preserve the truth, but also let us be diligent to recognize those we know without Christ are going to suffer this vengeance. It would do us well to be encouraged to talk to them at least one more time about receiving the Lord's mercy before it's everlasting too late. Amen. Father, we're sure thankful today for the great words of God. We ask you, please, in the name of Jesus Christ, you will help us to be faithful stewards of these words and faithful to deliver these words and preach these words. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.